Fleacher and the Teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Petrangelo, he scores! Alex Petrangelo, a backhand shot under the bar. 7.9 seconds to go in the first period, and the Blues have taken a 2-0 lead in Boston.
Well, a lot of things that you look back on and you'd like to change. One play isn't going to dictate my summer. You know, obviously it sucks. And something I have to live with and deal with. And I always remember that, but I'm going to train and take care of business away from the rink the same way I always do. And it's a lot of you get to this.
Me and not you, who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade. I'll march my band out. I'll beat my drum. And if I'm found out, your turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether I'm the rose of sheer perfection.
Oh, well. Sorry, Babs. Those St. Louis Blues did rain on our parade. We were all ready to go.
That was a great movie.
13th parade in, 15, 16 years. The duck boats were all lined up. The fans were ready to go. Boylston Street was going to be another scene. The rolling victory parade. That has certainly been monopolized by Boston teams since 2002 when the Patriots beat the other St. Louis team, the St. Louis Rams. Unfortunately, Larry Johnson did not materialize. Yes, today was going to be parade day in Boston, and something funny happened on Wednesday night over
now,
at the Boston Garden.
Now, when's the Gay Pride Parade?
That I'm not sure when it is here in Boston. I know usually in Providence in New York, which I have seen.
You got to check your schedule. Make sure you're there on time.
I will be there. Always a must see. But that
aren't
parade.
You're not in it?
That parade that was supposed to happen for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Like it happened for all the other teams in Boston, including the Bruins in 2011.
I tell you, after that second goal, that's when you started. Because then you know whoever got the next goal, that was it. But that's when you started becoming hesitant of any Bruin celebration. That second goal was a backbreaker.
Well, Brad Marchand decided that with 8 seconds left.
Hey, you got to go. You got to go.
Yeah, time to make a change. Need to go to the bench with 8 seconds left. And that was all she wrote. I didn't get that sense. And a lot of people felt that the nail was in the coffin on the Petrangelo goal, the backhander. And that was, four shots and two goals. And that was pretty much it. Yeah, the way the Blues put the hammer down, the clamp down on the defensive end, you could make that case in retrospect. I still felt the Bruins had a shot to do it. Remember, they were down 2-0 against the Blues in the first game. They certainly showed all kinds of resilience throughout these Stanley Cup playoffs.
Bennington came out, though.
But Bennington
he really
was amazing.
He was on, you hear that expression, standing on your head, and he really did stand on his head. He really did. Controlling rebounds, and just he was all over the place. Doesn't help any that the Bruins had a couple of open corner shots.
Marchand, yeah.
Yeah, and they just held it and held it and missed the net in the open area he left there. But it doesn't matter. He won. I don't think Tuukka, I think Dale was talking about some people being negative about him. I don't know what else you could ask out of him. The one goal, maybe, but other than that, I mean...
Which goal did you object to? The first one on the misdirect? Redirect?
Not the redirect. I think those are tough to judge. You know, I think it's hard anyway with those shots from the point and you got to try and look through all the legs and arms and sticks and find it. That's a very, very difficult task for a goalie.
Here's the problem. No one is going to put all the blame on Tuukka Rask, but he had two major issues working against him in Game 7. One of them was the guy at the other end of the ice, as you put it, and the old hockey term, he stood on his head.
Yeah.
The Bruins are crashing the net, applying major pressure in that first period, and Binnington was just about unstoppable.
I forget the shot ratio they had at one point. It was ridiculous.
think it was 20-4 in the first period. Yeah, something like that. It was ridiculous.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it might have been a little less. They probably didn't have 20 shots on goal, but they had a lot.
They were in double figures.
Oh, yeah, I think maybe 13-4 in the first period. Binnington was equal to every shot, no matter who was firing the puck at the goal. Binnington was there to make the stop. He reminded me of Tim Thomas, particularly in that Game 7 against Vancouver. So the other issue going on here, if you're Tuukka Rask, is you're being compared to the guy at the other end of the ice, and you will always be compared
to Tim Thomas.
To Tim Thomas. And unfortunately for Tuukka, you can give me every save percentage. You can give me every goals against average. You can give me every win. You can tell me that he was the best goaltender throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. But he never, and this is not who he is, but he never stood on his head. He's not a spectacular goaler. I sound like Dale there. Spectacular.
Great, but not spectacular.
He's very, very good. It was probably unfair what happened to him in Game 7. Certainly the front line, the first line.
I wouldn't
line.
Put this on him, though.
No.
I just felt the Bruins, again, they're trying to make the perfect pass to make the perfect goal. And there were just times where I think this wasn't a one-game thing. The series just caught up to them where St. Louis just beat the crap out of them. And I think physically, they just weren't up equal.
But didn't you feel after Sunday night when they went into St. Louis and, they rained on the Blues parade? They did exactly what the Blues did several nights later. I thought it was over. Didn't you think this was all but a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, but you know what's amazing, though? Charles Barkley, a basketball analyst, pretty much summed up the hockey game. He just said it's easier to win on the road. He said there can be too many distractions and relatives and wives and girlfriends, so blowing kisses from the stands and all that stuff. And he said in tickets, it's just too distracting. When you go on the road, it's just you and your team against them. And that really what it looked like to me.
Well, you think about it, in both the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs, the team that won the championship won three games in the enemy building. When Toronto won on Thursday night, that was their third win at Oracle, final game at Oracle. St. Louis wins on Wednesday night. That was their third win at the Garden. Pretty amazing.
It's funny because Stephen A. Smith, they kept trying to nudge him for a prediction, and he was hesitant. He just said, well, I'm going to take Golden State, he says, but I'm telling you, they can't afford any more injuries. They're really battered.
Right.
And, of course, then they went out and they lost Thompson at the midpoint of the third period, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, we'll get into the NBA a little bit, but I want to stick with the Bruins for now. So the first line, obviously, anemic. Krejci, 2 points throughout the finals. Marchand had his opportunities. He had a good sixth game.
Well, don't leave out the injury factor either, though.
Well, everybody's hurt, Larry, at this point.
Well, not everybody's walking around with a wired jaw.
Well, I don't know if Chara doesn't break his jaw, is the outcome different? I mean, I think Chara is a very solid defenseman.
Yeah.
I think he turned this franchise around, the greatest free agent acquisition of all time as far as the Bruins are concerned, when they picked him up, 13 years ago, free agency 2006. The entire tenor and tone of this organization changed. He's invaluable, an all-time great Hall of Famer both for the team and for the league. But at 42 years old, he's no Tom Brady. I don't think that broken jaw, I give him all kinds of credit. Imagine if they had one.
I love the play he made with the stick behind Tuukka.
Right.
That was
right.
A great play.
Right. Listen, that was a fantastic play. That would have been 3-0 in the first period or early second period at that point. That was a great play. And if they had come back to win.
Yeah, that would have been.
He would have been the hero.
One of the highlights.
Yeah, that was a terrific play because I don't know how that puck didn't go in. And in a lot of ways, Tuukka looked as if he actually was going to knock the puck in his own net there as he tried to come back and get it. And then, of course, was saved by, I lost his name already. I'm sorry, Larry.
Chara?
Yeah, Chara. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Brain fart there. So
it's better than last week. Yeah. You were throwing out profanity all the whole show.
That's right. I started the show
people
with the S word.
Yeah. And about swallowing the puck.
Yeah.
So
something's gone wrong. I don't know. It's all coming apart.
You know, the thing with Marchand, he had a 100-point season.
No.
He's still my favorite player. But he did make a couple of real bad mistakes.
How bad? I don't think I've ever seen in that moment in a game seven a mental error of that magnitude.
Just, I don't know what he was thinking.
What were you thinking?
Like I said, unless he had to go to the bathroom, I don't
8
know.
8 seconds left, stay on the ice. And then he didn't know what to do, got caught in that proverbial no man's land.
Should I go after the guy? Should I go after the puck?
Then it was like an Ole Matador-like check attempt there. But the other problem is, and I think you were absolutely correct, especially that defensive core, which is huge. They have 4 or 5 really big guys. Difficult to move those guys out of the slot, out of the crease. You really have to work to score goals against that defensive
corner. And you go in the
corner,
you get murdered.
Yeah, and you know what? The other thing I think that played into it, only because they had to, the delay of game in the first period, Bruins got on the power play, and they blew that whistle only because technically that's the rule.
Right.
Okay? Other than that,
they were trying not to blow the whistle.
They did. It was obvious. You'd have to admit, the old adage is, of course, they swallow the whistle in the third period of every National Hockey League game, especially in the playoffs. No, they swallowed the whistle in the first period. I will say this. I don't think anybody, even the most diehard Bruins fan, could complain about the officiating in game number 7.
No.
They stayed out of it.
They didn't.
Right.
What a post game, though. Man, you know, when they went in to interview the players, that they were
crying.
Talking about taking it tough, boy. They really... I think they were so close, they felt.
Well,
going into the 7th game.
So close. I think they thought they had wrapped it up. I said this on Saturday, how wrong I was in a long list. Another chapter of ridiculous predictions on my part. I said very sagely last Saturday that whoever wins game 6 will win the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. Obviously, if St. Louis won, yes, of course, because that was the clinching game potentially for them. But I figured, okay, Bruins go in. And I thought they were going to win. I really did think they were going to win on Sunday. But I also thought they just stroll in to the Garden on Wednesday night, just have to show up, put their stick on the ice, and that was going to be it for the Bruins in a championship. Didn't you? Really? Come on.
So how much did you lose?
I don't put money in any games, thankfully.
Can you imagine sitting there, though, in the middle of the third period, and you pay like $16,000 for a ticket?
And they were absolutely sky high, weren't they? Beyond. And here's the other problem. I heard a lot of people talking about this. I didn't notice it, obviously, watching it at home. But because those tickets were so high, you had a different caliber of fan in there for Game 7. Little bit more of the hoity-toity crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You kidding? If I had a ticket, I would have sold mine in a minute.
Yeah. So the typical emotional working class, you know, dyed-in-the-wool traditional Boston Bruins fan wasn't in attendance. There were certainly plenty of them there. But the crowd, and you know, let's face it, the crowd was out of that by the second goal.
Yeah.
And once the Bruins put in all that pressure, crashing the net, doing everything they could, Binnington standing on his head, once that didn't happen, once the goal did not cross the blue line or the goal line, that was pretty much it.
Well, I saw the way Binnington was playing, so you know you give this guy a little bit of cushion to work with.
Right. And so when it was all said and done, as I said earlier, that game to me felt like the Vancouver game 2011 in reverse. You know, the road team goes in and essentially shuts out the other team. I know they gave up the goal after they pulled Tuukka late in the game with 2 minutes left. They had the extra skater on. They finally got to Binnington there. But then it was way too late. It was 4-0. And that was just a shocking, stunning, devastating way to go down. Because, let's face it, everybody thought, going right back to the beginning of this show, we all thought we're going to another parade. Today, perfect day for a parade.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Blues just rained all over it. And it was, looking at it from their point of view, we both said it, Larry, last week, that if we were not here inside New England in 495, 128, whatever, the Blues would be a team you'd like. You'd like to see them.
Oh, I tell you, I love the way they played. I really do.
I mean,
they were physical and...
great checking hockey team.
Intimidating to go up in the corners against us. They were really...
But what they did And I know a lot of people don't really care to hear how the Blues won. I think more people are interested in how the Bruins lost.
Don't rain on my parade.
But what they did, especially in Game 7, they didn't resort to any cheap shots. They didn't try to take anybody's head off. They played disciplined, physical hockey. And that's why the officials could swallow their whistles, because they didn't do anything ridiculous.
I'm trying to hear Barbara.
Who wouldn't? Was this from Funny Girl?
Yeah.
She's actually, she's on tour, Larry Johnson, coming up in the fall.
Yeah, her tickets are outrageous.
Now, you've seen her, haven't you?
Not live in a concert, no.
Oh, no? Because I know you're, who are your top three? Barry Manilow?
No,
Barbara Streisand?
No. I like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I like Barbara.
Earth, Wind, and Fire and Barbara Streisand. I'll tell you, you were running the proverbial gamut right there.
I tell you who else I love is Lady Gaga.
No, it's just not my kind of music.
You don't like her? Her voice is incredible.
I respect Barbara Streisand. Great voice. I respect Lady Gaga. That's just not my kind of music.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to go see the... In case I hadn't mentioned this, I'm going to the Rolling Stones on
July
7th. Not my
kind of music. I like a couple of their songs, but...
Yeah, you like Sympathy for the Devil, I know.
Yeah, I love that.
That's your favorite that's song. You really identify. You have a personal connection to Sympathy for the Devil.
When I hear that, I think of you a lot.
And of course, as a tribute to you as an artist, Paint It Black is another... one of your favorite songs. I'm trying to get you to play the Rolling Stones, and you continue to play that Barbara Streisand schmaltz. Please, give me a break.
No, we got a little Lady Gaga for LJ.
Oh, that's... they're all the same. See, I've never seen...
And you hear her play the piano?
I know, she's very talented. I just don't necessarily respect that kind of music. I respect the talent, don't care for the music.
So we're so close.
And yet
so far away.
So far, because they did not...
They did not deliver.
They did not deliver in any shape, way, or form.
At least it wasn't some last-second goal to break your heart at the end of the game. I mean, they were...
So that's my question.
But the third period, I mean, man, it was, you knew it was over.
You had plenty of time to adjust to the fact that the Bruins were not going to
All
win
right, pack your
the Stanley
up.
Cup. And, I heard Dale and Keith and others on Thursday... picking apart the corpse that was the Bruins and, of course, assessing. Because in all of this ridiculous prosperity that we have had since the Patriots first won a title, it's now, by the way, if you're keeping score at home, it's 12 championships and 6 championship losses. All right? So 12 championships. We got the 6 Patriots, the 4 Red Sox, 1 each for the Bruins and the Celtics.
I heard the Nation's having a parade today.
The Nation?
Yeah, just for the fact that the Bruins are lost.
Well, there are a lot of people, as you well
very
know.
Very ecstatic.
Let's put it this way. The Schadenfreude scale was sky high on Wednesday night. America was cheering, not necessarily for St. Louis so much, although
for
that was
anybody.
A good story. No, but that was a good story. They hadn't won since the franchise began way back in 1967, 1968.
They were cheering the Zamboni, anybody right. but the Bruins.
Yeah, but on the other hand... I bet the next night, this is my smooth segue, ladies and gentlemen, I bet the next night you were rooting for Toronto because they hadn't won before.
Yeah, and they were sick of the Warriors.
And you're sick of the Warriors. You didn't want to see the Warriors win. Certainly didn't want to see Clay go down with that ACL. Certainly didn't want to see KD and what happened in Game 5, although Golden State won that game.
I'm not a big Durant fan.
Why not?
Because he seems...
Sullen, a little too sullen.
Yeah. Durant sucks.
You know, he's too hubris to me. I don't know what's wrong with him. Nice kid starting out, but not, by now he's just like, you know, don't talk to me.
Were you watching Game 5 in real time, as they say?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you for a second think that it was anything but an Achilles? I was absolutely convinced it was an Achilles. I'm not a doctor.
It was up, yeah.
I don't play one on the radio. But, you know, I turned to my son and said, that is an Achilles. And I don't care what they say, just because some people were saying, well, because you have a calf injury doesn't necessarily mean that you can rupture an Achilles. It is all connected.
Yeah.
And I give him credit on some level because there was some pressure for him to come back on the court.
Would you have put him back out there?
No, absolutely not. I think there were a lot of people who made that happen because they were more interested in winning in the moment than preserving his health, including KD. I got to put some, you know, he's got to take some responsibility there. I can understand that. But really, that was a disastrous decision to go out there and play. You think about that. He is gone now until the 2020-21 season. Mm. He's gone for a year. And, you know, he'll get his money. And as far as the rumors are concerned, all the speculation has...
So you think he'll have to take a year off?
Oh, yeah. He's gone for a year. If he had done it, you know, somewhere in the middle of the season or earlier in the season, he could come back. Thompson's not coming back till the end of next year.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they are completely devastated. Durant, you know, there was some speculation that he might come back for the 1 year and play for $31 million. But now, as the further we get away from that game, a lot of the rumor has him. He's going to go to the Knicks. He might go to the Nets, maybe the Clippers. He's not going to stay in Golden State.
He's going to wait a year. Wow.
And so you might have seen an end of a dynasty, not just simply by losing in six games to Toronto, but just two devastating injuries in consecutive games that have really taken that franchise apart. All right, so Bruins, as you probably know by this point, did not win a Stanley Cup. No parade today. It was scheduled for today. Beautiful day to have it.
You can still go out and have a parade, but the Bruins won't be there.
No, you can.
Something I have to live with and deal with.
You can head over to St. Louis. I'm sure they're going to be... when is their parade, Amy? Do we know?
Is it Monday?
I'm not sure when it is, actually. So if you want to participate in that, I'm sure...
You ever been to St. Louis?
I have never had the opportunity. I know plenty of our full-timers go, because we've had a few World Series against the Cardinals a couple times.
Yeah, I went.
I heard it's underwhelming. It's a very small city.
Well, it started off with we get in a cab to go to the from the airport to the hotel, and the cab driver says, whatever you do, don't go out at night.
Gentlemen, the parade is today.
The parade is today.
On a Saturday.
Well, we got to hurry up with the show so we can get there.
Absolutely.
I went up in the Ark.
You did?
Yes.
Was it
claustrophobic.
Oh, if you're...
In this little elevator, man, and mm-hmm. that Joker goes all the way up, and it's very claustrophobic. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah, because you're completely encased.
You are.
Yeah. And I guess it's like anything else. So I've been to the top of the Washington Monument. I actually climbed the stairs to the Washington Monument. That's enclosed, too, but there's a little space. This one's really tight.
Oh,
huh?
Tight. Oh,
I am claustrophobic.
I'm not into climbing anything.
No. So that's pretty much the highlight. If you go to St. Louis.
That and going to the Caribbean. Those are two things that are off my list.
You did the Caribbean as well?
Oh, no. Well, no. No, but I'm not going to either.
Why not? What's wrong with the Caribbean? Oh,
talking about people going,
that's right.
People dropping like flies.
Yeah. I have actually been to the Dominican Republic.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 1980s, I spent a week at a very fancy, very high-priced resort.
That's what happens. This woman dropped dead. They had about, I don't know how many people, claimed she had a heart attack.
Right. That was at this place that I went to was called Casa de Campo, about 2 hours outside of Santo Domingo. But the disparity, and you probably know this, and we've certainly known a lot about the Dominican over the years because it's such a baseball factory, but the disparity between the rich and the poor is just absolutely amazing and devastating. And unfortunately, Dominican Republic became a center of a lot of attention over the last
Red Sox legend David Ortiz shot.
You're sitting there drinking your $12 cocktail, and you know, about a stone's throw away, there are people out there begging for 50 cents.
So although the traditional news sources have been very circumspect as far as reporting the motive for the shooting, do you subscribe at all? I know you don't subscribe literally to the Daily Mail, which is the National Enquirer.
I took one glance at it this morning.
Woo. Yeah. The rumor is, of course, that Ortiz was having an affair with a gangster's wife, and this was revenge.
Who do you know that you're, first of all, I couldn't even do it for myself, but who do you know that you're spending $85,000 on a car for some woman?
Hey, you know, someone's doing it well.
I think the fact that I pray for him. I pray he recovers and he's okay and get on with your life. But because there are other people that we know and love, and because we love them so much, we kind of look the other way. And I think David Ortiz could be one of those people. We love him. He seems like a great guy. But there are certainly some questions about that whole situation.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if I look at David Ortiz differently. I mean, they are not, as we well know, they're not flawless individuals. They're far from perfect. They're eminently fallible. They do one thing very well. We've talked about Tiger for many, many years now. I put him on a pedestal. I was wrong to do that. I think around here, you can't get any more legendary than David Ortiz. Think about what he did with the three World Series after the 86 years of frustration.
This
what
is my bleep and
say. Right. I mean, from every angle, David Ortiz is one of the great legends in the history of this town.
By the way, I'm so glad you were talking about this for a minute. I really, really, really want to stop and applaud John Henry and Tom Werner for sending a private plane down there to get him and bring him back here. Certainly that's something they didn't have to do. And I really want to applaud them. That was a real class move to get him out of there. Because whenever you're looking at footage down there, it's just seems like chaos to me. Just a lot of stuff going on.
Right. And you don't want... I lost a friend to a Caribbean hospital. He had a minor injury and ended up dying because he was allergic to an anesthetic.
Oh,
and that
boy.
Was Turks and Caicos. And by the time they had airlifted him into Mass General, he unfortunately passed. This was a much more serious injury. He easily could have died. Amazing that they got to the hospital. But you did want him, of course, to get treatment here. And even then, it was a five-hour operation. Significant damage to the intestines and the liver. He's going to be fine.
Lost the gallbladder.
He's going to be fine. But he's, you know, and then I heard these things. This is what really galled me. Speaking of gallbladder, really galled me. Was people were trying to get Ortiz to show up at the Garden on Wednesday.
Even,
what are you kidding
me?
Don't
even go there.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
When you look in the dictionary under stupid, there's just a group of people out there, some of them very wealthy, some of them, you know, very, very bright people, and they wanted them to shoot a video of him in the hospital waving a Bruins flag that they could play before the game. What the hell is wrong with people?
Yeah, and, you know, really for those days, Ortiz was shot, I think, the same night that the Bruins were in St. Louis and winning. And for those couple of days in between the games, it was really a lot of Ortiz discussion. Certainly everybody was really completely freaked out by what happened. And I was almost thinking that the Bruins were not going to get their due when they finally won, but they took care of business on their own.
Well, if he had passed away,
that would have been unbelievable.
That would have been
unbelievable. And he could have died.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's going to recover, which is amazing. How that bullet missed, it still hit some vital organs, but how it missed other things, like his spine, is absolutely amazing. It's all random and arbitrary.
Well,
he was so
lucky
fortunate
that the idiot gunman only took one shot.
Right, and why he took a shot of his back, maybe not the head.
That's crazy.
It is absolutely amazing.
He was confused at the shirt he had on.
Right.
But it was just, listen, if people get after Jerry about it because he said it, I happen to agree with him. Who the hell would want to go down there now? I wouldn't want to go anywhere near that place.
No, and again, when I was there.
Too much confusion.
Right.
Chaos. I just would stay away from that.
Well, and the people that do go down there tend to go to these resorts that are completely cordoned off.
Well, these are the same people who like to climb mountains.
Yeah,
you know?
And what could happen? Look what's happened there.
You get up there, and then then I don't know who has to pay to go up and rescue these people, but I'd make them pay. I'm telling you, I would make them pay.
Well, that's a whole different discussion we'll get to very soon. 617-779-7937. It is Mustard and Johnson on this Saturday morning that would have been a parade in Boston. Oh, well.
I just know I'm glad I'm here.
Well, you're here, and we're happy that you are here.
We're glad we're here.
Absolutely. So,
617. That adventure stuff. Forget it.
617.
Forget about it.
Can I give the number out, please?
617. Forget about it.
779-7937. You want to chime in on the Bruins, discuss the Ortiz situation,
anything
else on
your mind? We're going to talk about the Celtics, too. What are they going to do?
Can I take a break, please?
You know, what, you got to go to the bathroom?
I have to take. We have a very important trend coming up. A crucial, critical.
Oh,
okay. Will you hit the sounder, please?
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
How did you deal with the pressure and the anxiety and the nerves of Game 7?
Well, they're different at home and on the road. When you're a star on the road, you got to go for it and bring the guys along. At home, you try to get those guys going. So that was true the dilemma, whether it was home or away. Because when you're on the road, you know those other guys are scared. So you got to come out and be a star and a superstar. But when you're at home, they see their wives and girlfriends and kids up there, and they're blowing kisses at them. Role players play a lot better at home. That's been proven.
I'll tell you what, there are a lot of role players who played very well on the road for St. Louis Blues on Wednesday night. Charles, of course, in between the first and second period. That, of all the intermission guests, I don't know if Charles would be my first pick, although he was pretty entertaining, as he usually is.
Although you confused me with your award-winning trend.
What?
You said something about the Celtics and Lakers working. I thought they were working together.
No, no, no. They're working. Each are working to take Barkley. Now you got me completely confused. Yes. Yeah. They're working to take Anthony Davis out of New Orleans. They're not working in concert. They're not working together. This is not a collaborative effort in any shape, way, or form. Obviously, it appears to me that the Celtics have the better pieces. The question, of course, is would Anthony Davis go beyond 1 year? We know that his agent, who's on the cover of SI this week, claims that there's no way that AD would re-up and sign any long-term deal with the Celtics, so the Lakers might have a better shot. We shall find out. I'm sorry I confuse you. We're all straightened out on that
it's
now?
It's not the first time.
I'm sure. Let's go to...
By the way, yeah. Tigers tea time today is at 2:27.
Good. I'll be avoiding the TV until he's pretty much done.
The other night, I went to a sleep clinic.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
And we're having trouble
doctor,
tossing...
My primary care doctor suggested I do so.
Were you having problems?
His name is Neil Diamond, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Another one of your favorites.
So when you walk in there, there's music playing in the background.
So your favorite song of all time must
Sweet
be...
Caroline.
Not at all. No. No, I'm not Gloria. We know that.
I like Coming to America.
I don't like
We're
that.
We're coming to America.
No, but since Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond are your favorites,
I didn't
send,
my
you
favorite.
Don't send me flowers would be like...
I Anymore.
Would think
Anymore.
Would be your ultimate song.
Went to America.
Neil Diamond.
So anyway, the sleeping clinic.
Seriously, we get the Stones back, please.
The technician
restore some musical order to this program.
Okay, the technician's name was Kathy. Adorable.
Yes.
She was so pretty.
So what's the point of this? I'm trying
to
figure it out.
Explaining why I'm a little bit out of it, trying to get back into
as opposed to like the other weeks.
The other weeks.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
At least I'm not on here. At least I'm not on here swearing and swallowing basketballs.
No, that would be pucks. 617
to you.
779-7937. Let's start with John in Western Mass.
John,
who begins this show on Sports
boys,
Radio.
Hey, how you
John.
Doing
John, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Hey, I had a couple of observations about that Bruins series.
Go ahead.
And I don't think the defense did Tuukka Rask any favors, and I'll tell you why. I saw Tuukka Rask being constantly shielded, just obstructed.
Bodies in the front,
levels.
Yeah.
You know, why are the Bruins defenders not pushing those Blues out of the way? I noticed that Jordan Binnington never had any issues with sight problems. He never had any issues being obstructed. He saw the puck perfectly because their defenders pushed our Bruins out of the way every freaking time. And, oh, by the way, how about this? If I saw this once, I saw this 100 times. On a 5-on-5 throughout the series, why did it always seem like the Bruins were, like, playing with a man down? Because when they were in the Bruins defensive
right.
zone,
yep.
they set up like a power play. And I'm going, wait yeah. a minute, it's 5-on-5. Put a body on somebody.
Right.
How do you guys look like you're in a power play because you're not down anybody?
I told you, I like St. Louis a lot.
Yeah.
John,
you make a very good point that we didn't bring up. Of course, many other people did, that when it was 5-on-5, the Blues always seemed to have the advantage. The only way the Bruins were going to win is get on the man advantage. And they, since there was no whistles being blown except for the one they had to the delay of game in Game 7, they were pretty much sunk. 5-on-5, they got their asses kicked in this series.
Yeah, it was so disappointing.
Yep. No question
anyway,
about it.
Anyway, boys, great to talk to you this morning.
Hey.
I love your show. Keep it going.
Hey, right. wait till
Thank
next
you, John.
Year.
Actually, that's an interesting point, and I know you just said that to be clever.
No. They got some salary issues they got to
I would
at.
Say, but wait till next year was always the rallying cry of the Brooklyn Dodgers would lose the World Series to the Yankees in the 1950s, and they certainly had the talent to come back and go to another World Series, which eventually they broke through in 1955 and won a World Series. This Bruins team is not a wait till next year team. Wait till next year. Do you really believe that Tampa's going to completely fall apart like they did?
No, I don't.
No. That's not going to happen.
The Bruins have about 7 or 8 guys who are right, like either hitting 30 or right near it.
Well, they have a lot of, I mean, you saw those numbers. They showed it after the game. There's a lot of older guys. It's young core. There's a young core defensively,
right,
other than Chara.
And people like that. Right.
But, you know, we have a lot of older forwards who looked their age, particularly against the Blues.
Well, it's amazing what body checks can do to you.
But
I'm telling
I wouldn't say this team is going to take a precipitous drop. My issue is all those other teams that miraculously for the Bruins took an early exit, I think going to be back next year. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think they're going to be in the hunt. They could be a 3 or 4 seed in the conference.
They got to get a talented goon, though. They really do. They got to get somebody who doesn't skate with his dragging his knuckles, but somebody who's not afraid to go in there and knock the mess out of somebody if they need to. They never had that. And a couple of times, guys got creamed, and they just never had it.
Let's go to Ron Falmouth, who's next on Sports Radio. Hey, Ron.
Hi, guys.
What's
Love
going
the
on?
Show.
Thank you.
Great weather today down here in the Cape.
Oh, man.
What a day for a parade. Oh, sorry.
What part of the Cape?
Falmouth.
Falmouth, yeah. All right.
I wanted to talk about Ortiz a little, and I've treated injuries like that, if you wanted to talk about the injury. But
Are you an EMT guy?
Physician, retired physician.
Wow. What kind of physician? Ron, what kind of physician?
Orthopedic surgeon.
Okay. And, you know, was I wrong to say that Ortiz is very, very fortunate to even survive that wound?
Oh, sure he is.
Yeah.
You hit the spine, you're paralyzed. You hit the aorta, and you're to death. But
now, the obvious question to ask is, what kind of life is he going to have when he recovers and walks out of the hospital?
Well, I mean, an injury like this ages you a bit, you know. He's everything from his libido, his sex life, his activity, these things slow down. But at the same time, it may help him because he's going to lose weight. In fact, his surgeon could have done a gastric sleeve while he was there. Could have helped him. But he's going to lose weight. He's going to take better care of himself. Hopefully, he'll pay more attention to his marriage and his kids. But
don't you buy $85,000 cars for anybody?
Look, since the dawn of time, things like this are either about sex or money.
Yeah.
And David's so generous to that island nation. I'm sure it's not about money. But and probably everybody knows why it happened and who it was. I mean, it was in a public place. They really wanted to take care of him. It would have been chewing the hat as he got into his car or something, you know.
Would you go down there for vacation?
No, the answer is obviously no, but I do have friends that go down there, and they're going to keep going. I mean, as long as you're out there spending money and enjoying the food and the countryside, you're probably okay. I mean, those incidents in the hotel were organized, someone spiking the bar, that sort of
thing.
I mean, there'll always be a connection down there. But,
hey, I think I'll stay in Falmouth.
Ron, since I have you on the line, you're an orthopedic surgeon. This is a completely different subject. A lot of debate about whether Kevin Durant should have gotten back on the court in game number 5. We ultimately left with a ruptured Achilles. Is there a connection between an injured calf and an Achilles? I always thought there was, and a lot of people were claiming, no, they had no idea that Kevin Durant's calf would lead to a ruptured Achilles. What was your perspective on that?
Well, you know, the calf muscle is that big muscle in the back of your leg, and it connects the Achilles tendon, and that lifts up your heel. It's critical to jumping, to pushing off. Usually, Achilles tendon ruptures occur in fellows in their 40s and 50s. A younger man like that is not going to tear the tendon. He's more likely to tear the muscle where it attaches to the tendon.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a partial tear or full tear, but these returns activities are always very critical. One thing's certain, he's not going to have the spring in his jump. He's not going to have the jumping ability or the push-off or the strength that he used to have.
How long for recovery?
It's at least a year before you get back to where you were before the injury. I don't care what the rehabilitation is.
Wow.
He's going to be slow as next season starts. He's not going to have the speed or the push-off. And these can be career ender. How old is he?
He's about 30.
Well, he'll get back to his career, but he's not going to have the mobility, the speed, the quickness, the jumping ability. It's like an ACL injury in a knee in a football player. Yeah. It's just a very critical injury that cuts down in every aspect.
All right, I don't know if I'd give him $200 million. Ron, thanks very much.
I think there'd be a lot of people who are very happy to do that, including the New York Knicks, and be very happy for KD to have quote, redshirt year. He can sit out for a year, be ready to go. But it's not going to be until 2020-21 season, it seems like. Eons from now, we shall find out. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Don't forget, the man, the myth, the legend, the king of all Boston media.
Let's get ready to rumble.
A legend in his own mind. Mark with a C. James, yet another co-host.
This one.
Another victim, co-host.
Very interesting.
How about them apples?
Andy Hart and Mark James, allegedly, rumor has it, speculation is they really don't like each other very much.
Be honest with you, boy.
More so than most of other Mark James's co-hosts.
I mean, we at least pretend we like each other.
There's a lot of animosity, and they've made no bones about it. They've been very transparent.
Sorry, Mark James.
Yeah, they've been very transparent in their animosity toward each other.
I thought they would have put Dale with Mark.
That would have been an interesting combination right there. So anyway, yet another co-host for Mark James coming up at 11 o'clock. There could be fireworks. You want to be here on Sports Radio.
I might stay over.
WEEI.
Stale Arnold.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Anywhere. This is the best place on earth. I mean, this is home for me now, and I live here in the summer, and, you know, I love it here. I want to be here forever, and, you know, I think losing in the manner that we did, like, I want to just win so bad to just be a part of it, just to join, like I said, it's just a city full of champions, and everyone here is winners, and they all won at one point, and I just want to be a part of that so bad, and we're so close, but we'll just have to believe it will be back.
Had an impressive season being paired with Zdeno back in the blue line for the Bruins. Charlie McAvoy saying he wants to be a Bruin for life. He was especially upset after the game, where if you saw the post game, which I did, a lot of very weepy Bruins. McAvoy certainly one of those, because they thought they had it. They thought they had taken the championship with the Game 6 win in St. Louis on Sunday night. That was not to be. We're picking apart that corpse that is the Boston Bruins, throwing a little Patriots as well, some David Ortiz talk. 617-779-7937. We head over to Roslindale. Mo, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
What's on your mind,
Good,
Mo?
Good, thank you. So I actually, you guys follow the Casper E3 story out of this week?
The Casario story with the Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much, just in case you don't know, so E3, he was at the ring ceremony.
Wasn't he the chaplain or something with the Patriots?
Exactly. So a lot of people don't know the backdrop. So when Kraft got charged with the prostitution charges.
Yes. Yep.
So that was pretty much when he quit. And when he, on his way out, he kind of took a couple public shots at Kraft. And
then he shows up at his party.
Exactly. So one tweet, actually, he said human trafficking is entrenched evil. And then another public statement, he was talking about, like, Kraft should ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward to the public ceremony, he shows up, right? And, you know, he has the audacity to show up. Not only that, we now know the reason he came was to court Casario for the
Texas
GM job at Houston, right? So, you know, if you think about it, the only way Belichick, anyone would have found out about the tampering charges is if Casario came out and told them, right? And I honestly think Casario looked at the guys like, are you kidding me? You know, I think they're very close to Kraft. And they probably went back, talked to Belichick. Can you believe this guy, the chaplain, now, you know, committing this hypocrisy? And, you know, I think they wanted to defend Kraft and out this guy. And I think the Patriots, I don't think Casario had any intentions of going there. And I think that was their way of defending Kraft, where, you know, this guy coming there with the audacity. After he made those comments about Kraft, and then trying to steal him away from the job.
I'm surprised they let him in, tell you the truth.
That is one conspiracy theory I don't think I've heard before. We'll call Oliver Stone. Maybe he can make a movie on it.
That Houston team, they've run through at least three general managers.
Well, they fired the general manager after 1 year. So obviously with Billy O'Brien down there, I'm sure he has a very good relationship with Serio. Patriots filed tampering charges. He's back in New England. You wonder if that relationship is irreparably damaged or not. We shall find out.
And that caller was talking about Jack Easterby, just to be...
Yeah, he was the chaplain, not Nick Casario, who was the director of player personnel.
He was like a character coach for the Patriots last year, came back for the ring ceremony, and was allegedly the one who tried to talk to Casario.
Quite a character.
All right, 617-77. I'm glad we got that all straightened out. We still have an hour to go before the debut, the much-anticipated, highly-awaited debut of Mark with a C, James, Andy Hart, two people that allegedly hate each other.
A thriller in Watertown.
Like the heat of 10,000 suns. We shall find out what happens at 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, more of your calls. Mustard and Johnson continues on Sports Radio WEEI.
I will fight you all.